However, the Maldives are a tropical paradise, but all has not been easy of late for the islanders themselves. The natural beauty of the islands, which attracts tourists and offers lucrative fishing, is in danger. The country is the lowest lying in the world, and the average height above sea level just around 5 feet. When the South Asia tsunami hit in December 2004, only 9 islands out of the chain of nearly 1,200 were reported to have avoided flooding. And there are political problems too, as Heidi Fuller Love reports.
My coccyx squeals as the tatty speedboat bucks and thumps us over the waves to Utim, one of the Maldives' most southerly islands. Blasé to this brutal form of transport, Mohammed lounges on the bench next to me, humming a song dedicated to Al-Sultan Ghazi Mohammed Boduthakarafanu, the sea captain who liberated the Maldives from Portuguese conquerors in 1573. Kuryahuri dala dekunu. Take me, oh take me south, he croons in Divé, the tremulous Indo-Aryan tongue spoken by the 350,000 plus Maldivians who dwell on these low-lying atolls. Mohammed whoops for joy when we finally arrive. It's the first time I've seen a smile on his chubby face since a seaplane scooped me from the heat and dust of the capital Malé and dropped me at the air-conditioned luxury resort where he works nearly a week before. Utim is the birthplace of Boduthakarafanu, and tomorrow is our national holiday in his honour, he enthuses, shouting to be heard over the din of music, blasting from loudspeakers next to the port, where workers are piling up concrete blocks to make a seawall. Stepping from the boat, I stare warily at black-breasted Asian coal birds with beady red eyes who down at me from a dizzy kaleidoscope of palm trees. After a week in a luxury water villa on an artificial island resort, I'm still slightly disorientated. Where are all the butler-driven buggies, the lobster-skinned Europeans, and the selfie-mad Chinese newlyweds? Sand sifting soft as hot talc between my manicured toes, I pad, pad, pad along a track fringed by tin-roofed houses behind Mohammed. I'm expecting islanders to be hostile. Tourists never used to set foot outside of their artificial island resorts until previous President Nasheed opened up some of the smaller atolls to visitors a few years ago. But Utim's inhabitants smile, and they seem proud to show me what they're doing. Whitewashing walls, weeding parks, and clearing rubbish for the national celebration dedicated to their hero sea captain. How much comfort it is here, Mohammed says, greeting people with Halu kahine, the breathy Maldivian hello that sounds like a Tahitian love song. He tells me that because of his work, he rarely has time to visit this atoll where his wife and children live. We enter the ancient palace where Sultan Mohammed Thakarafanu grew up. The hot, box-like rooms breathe the heady incense of precious woods that we use to make the low ceilings and the heavy battered doors. The Mohammed who's standing with me now is less formal, as though sharing his home has brought us closer. I wanted to be like the Sultan when I was a little boy. I even had sea battles. I was terrible. Too many battles. I no more had friends, he giggles. There's a deep well beside the palace where pilgrims used to flock to take the waters that were said to have healing properties. Mohammed tells me that the water is salty now. People are saying the sea's rising. People have said that. I've heard that. And now there's no one to stop it, he whispers. Ex-President Nasheed's name isn't mentioned, but his shadow is a long one for many Maldivians. He was the first person to take climate change seriously on this chain of atolls amongst the lowest on the planet. He'd even had a plan to buy land for his people in other countries, just in case they became climate refugees. But Nasheed was defeated in elections in 2012, and last year he was found guilty on terrorism charges, which some observers claim were trumped up. He was given a 13-year prison sentence, and many of his innovative projects were abandoned. Mohammed tells me about the 2004 tsunami that killed 88 people and left 12,000 homeless here in the Maldives. As he talks, musicians on the village square begin to play their traditional Bodubero drums, the dum-dumming so loud he has to shout to be heard. I never experienced such a scary time in my life. Everywhere was covered. There was no ground to run to. It wasn't big waves, but it was like we were sinking, he yells. He no longer seems to see me. His eyes, round and panicked, are fixed on the gaily painted tin-roofed houses, the hero's palace, the carefully raked paths of this island he loves, now slipping away beneath the surrounding sea. We live on the sea. This is our home. And now we are drowning, he laments. So where is the hero who will save us today? Hey? Hey? Hey?
Heidi, full of love, in a worried paradise, bringing this edition to a close. We'll be back with more dispatches on Saturday morning. Do join us. Goodbye.